In Memoriam, Remembering the Photographers We Lost in 2017, by Liz Ronk. These photographers helped shape and define nearly every area of our world, from rock music to civil rights to fine art. Here, Time celebrates the lives and work of some of the great photographers we lost in 2017. And we start with Russ Adams, 1930 to 2017. Russ Adams, a pioneer in tennis photography, died on June 28th at the age of 86, just weeks after the death of his wife of 65 years, Betty. Nominated for a Pulitzer Prize in 1955, he began his career at the Worcester Telegram and the Boston Herald Traveler, photographing sports greats in the Boston area. By 1953, he'd honed in on the sport of tennis, a subject that would dominate the next 50 years of his life. Among his many accomplishments, he worked with the USTA to create a code of conduct for photographers covering tennis around the world in 1969 and was inducted into the International Tennis Hall of Fame in Newport, Rhode Island in 2007. He's our dean, our guru, our guardian, tennis champion Billie Jean King told the Boston Globe when Adams was inducted into the Hall of Fame. Believe me, the players look for him and love him. His body of work, comprising about 1.6 million images, is considered the largest privately held source of tennis images in the world. Next, Richard Benson, 1943 to 2017. Photographer, educator, and master printer Richard Chip Benson died in Providence on June 22nd at the age of 73. Benson taught photography at the Yale University School of Art for more than three decades, starting in 1979, and also served as dean from 1996 to 2006. Among his many accomplishments are two Guggenheim Fellowships and a MacArthur Fellowship. The son of a stonecutter, he always loved working with his hands. He's perhaps best known for his innovations in photographic offset printing techniques and later inkjet printing. In 1981, the Gilman Paper Company bought him an offset printer to install in his home in Newport, Rhode Island, with which he was able to reproduce 200 of the historic photographs in the company's collection by photographers including Matthew Brady, Alfred Stieglitz, and Robert Frank. He spent nearly 5 years creating prints that were tonally accurate to the originals. In a talk recorded for a later exhibit at the Museum of Modern Art, Benson stated that he couldn't sleep through the night during that period due to blind terror that he'd screw it up. From platinum palladium to the most cutting-edge digital technology, Benson embraced the future of photography and still believed in the power of the print. Nick Cornish. Photojournalist Nick Cornish died after a battle with leukemia on January 18th. He was only 51 years old. During his two-decade-long tenure at the London Sunday Times, he covered conflicts ranging from the wars in Libya, Syria, and Iraq to riots in Europe and everything in between. He was a photographer who put himself in harm's way on a regular basis. In addition to working as a photojournalist for the Sunday Times and other publications, he was an accomplished commercial photographer with an eye for portraits and landscapes. He lived in Italy with his wife. He was not just a wonderful photographer, said Sunday Times picture editor Ray Wells in a Facebook tribute to Cornish. He was the most gracious and self-deprecating of men, always surprised that anyone would know his name. Marie Cassindis. Marie Cassindis, a pioneer in the use of color photography, died in her hometown of Boston on May 25th at the age of 93. She studied textiles and painting at the Modern School of Fashion Design and the Boston Museum School before a 1959 trip to her family's homeland of Greece triggered a passion for photography. After studying and attending workshops with Paul Caponegro and Ansel Adams, she was referred to Polaroid's Edwin Land in 1962 to test out the company's new instant developing film. Excelling in experimentation with color film, particularly in its uses for ethereal portraits and still lifes, she garnered the interest of Museum of Modern Art curator John Sarkowski. He would offer her an exhibition in 1966, making her just the fifth woman in the museum's history to have a solo show. In the press release, Sarkowski stated that her photographs were, quote, as real and as unlikely as butterflies. Her work fell into obscurity during the 1980s, but was revisited in 2013 when two museums, the Amon Carter Museum of American Art in Fort Worth, Texas, and the Photographic Resource Center at Boston University, presented new looks at her work. During her lifetime, she was the recipient of a Guggenheim Grant, a Rockefeller Grant, and two honorary degrees. Arlene Gottfried. Street photographer Arlene Gottfried died on August 8th from complications of breast cancer. She was 66 years old. Born and raised in Brooklyn, she was the older sister of actor and comedian Gilbert Gottfried, but her compassionate, curious photos of everyday New York City stand on their own. As a teenager, she received her first camera from her father and would roam her Brooklyn neighborhood photographing her surroundings and interesting characters. After studying at the Fashion Institute of Technology in New York City and working for an advertising agency, she shot for publications such as the New York Times Magazine, Fortune, Life, and Newsweek. But her street work, captured over the course of three decades, resonated the most. During the course of her career, Gottfried published five books, the first of which, 1999's The Eternal Light, brought her into such close contact with her subject, the Eternal Light Community Singers, that she became a gospel singer herself. The photo featured in the gallery is from her 2011 book, Bacalaitos and Fireworks. And yet, in an interview with Time's Paul Moakley that year, she said that she still felt sometimes that she didn't know much about the business of making a photo book, even though she'd clearly proved her aptitude at the process. "I'm good at taking the pictures and putting them in some order," she said. "For me, it's a way of concluding something." Stanley Green. Photojournalist, World Press Award winner, and founding member of Noor Photo Agency, Stanley Green died on May 19th in Paris after a long battle with cancer. He was 68 years old. Born in Brooklyn, New York in 1949, he received his first camera from his parents at age 11. As a teenager, he joined the Black Panthers and was an anti-Vietnam activist. With the encouragement of renowned photojournalist and former life photographer W. Eugene Smith, Green pursued photography at the School of Visual Arts, SVA, in New York. After college, he moved to San Francisco and documented the punk scene and produced a body of work called The Western Front. He would move to Paris in 1986 and have a brief career as a fashion photographer, and was in East Berlin in 1989 when the Berlin Wall fell. He won his first World Press Award in 1994 for his 1993 work in the Russian White House. He was the only Western journalist inside during the coup attempt against Russian President Boris Yeltsin. His focused work in conflict zones, including Chechnya, Georgia, Afghanistan, and Iraq, would win him additional World Press Awards and other honors, including the W. Eugene Smith Award in 2004 and the Lifetime Achievement Visa d'Or Award in 2016. Speaking to Time earlier this year, Marianne Golan from the Washington Post stated, "From battlefields in Chechnya and Iraq to the Silk Road in Asia to New Orleans underwater to long-defunct punk clubs in San Francisco, Stanley Green floated through all with his gifted eye and came away with haunting black-and-white photographs often as unusual as he was." Ren Hang. Controversial Chinese photographer and poet Ren Hang died on February 24th in Beijing. Born in China in 1987, he wrote about his struggle with depression on his website. He was 29 and is reported to have jumped to his death. Known for nude portraits of his friends, he began taking pictures as an advertising student while studying advertising at the Communication University of China using a point-and-shoot camera. Hang once said he simply shot what he saw. And in China, what he saw got him arrested on various occasions for his sexually explicit work. This did not stop him from creating work, and during his lifetime, he published 7 photo books and a book of poetry. Renowned Chinese artist Ai Weiwei took an interest in Hang's work and included his photos in a 2013 exhibition in the Netherlands and curated his 2014 exhibit in Paris. Speaking to Time earlier this year, Alexander Oberg, a longtime collaborator of Hang's, told Time he was a lovely person and an incredibly creative artist who had so much more to share with the world. Don Hunstein, best known for his iconic images of Columbia Records musicians, died on March 18th from Alzheimer's disease in New York. He was 88 years old. Born in St. Louis, Hunstein first became interested in photography while in the Air Force, stationed in England. He bought his first camera, a Leica M3, after being inspired by the work of Henri Cartier-Bresson. Not long after returning to New York, he began his career at Columbia Records in the company's photo library. The position afforded him incredible access to photograph musicians including Billie Holiday, Miles Davis, Johnny Cash, and Bob Dylan. He would go on to become chief photographer and director of photography for the label, spending 30 years of his career there. Hundreds of his photographs as album covers made their way into homes across the world. One of those pictures in particular would become a defining image in pop culture. Early in his career, he captured Bob Dylan and girlfriend Susie Rotolo on a cold winter day in 1963, walking down the street in Greenwich Village. That picture would become the album cover of the Freewheelin' Bob Dylan. The album cemented Dylan as a major recording artist, and its cover remains one of the most recognizable images in Hunstein's archive. Ben Martin came to photography young. He received his first camera at the age of 8 and became the youngest member of the National Press Association at 17. But when he joined Time magazine, it was as a copy boy after a promised job in the photo department of Life was eliminated. Carrying around a camera with him everywhere had its advantages, however, and he quickly went from copy boy to one of the magazine's first staff photographers, shooting alongside many of the great Life photographers. He died on February 10th in Salisbury, North Carolina, at the age of 86. Martin is responsible for many of the memorable images that ran in the pages of Time and Life during that era, including photographs of the 1960 presidential debate between Richard Nixon and John F. Kennedy and JFK's funeral in 1963. In 1965, he joined civil rights leader Dr. Martin Luther King Jr. on his march from Selma to Montgomery, Alabama. As the photographer spent much of the march walking backwards, the assistant United States Attorney General John Doerr said that Martin was the best shield Dr. King could have. Speaking with Time, Martin's former wife, Catherine Lee Scott, fondly remembered that he always said he would never retire. In fact, he never did, and continued to work right until the year before his death.